cried she, in French. "You speak my language as well as Mr. Rochester does. I can talk to you as I can to him, and so can Sophie. She will be glad. Nobody here understands her. Madame Fairfax is all English. Sophie is my nurse. She came with me over the sea in a great ship with a chimney that smoked. How it did smoke! And I was sick, and so was Sophie, and so was Mr. Rochester. Mr. Rochester lay down on a sofa in a pretty room called the salon, and Sophie and I had little beds in another place. I nearly fell out of mine. It was like a shelf. And Mademoiselle... What is your name?
Eyre. Jane Eyre.
Ah. Bah, I cannot say it. Well, our ship stopped in the morning, before it was quite daylight, at a great city. A huge city, with very dark houses and all smoky. Not at all like the pretty clean town I came from. And Mr. Rochester carried me in his arms over a plank to the land, and Sophie came after, and we all got into a coach, which took us to a beautiful large house, larger than this and finer, called a hotel. We stayed there nearly a week. I and Sophie used to walk every day in a great green place full of trees called a park, and there were many children there besides me, and a pond with beautiful birds in it that I fed with crumbs.
"Can you understand her when she runs on so fast?" asked Mrs. Fairfax. I understood her very well, for I had been accustomed to the fluent tongue of Madame Pierrot.
"I wish," continued the good lady, "you would ask her a question or two about her parents. I wonder if she remembers them."
"Adèle," I inquired, "with whom did you live when you were in that pretty clean town you spoke of?"
"I lived long ago with Mama, but she's gone to the Holy Virgin. Mama used to teach me to dance and sing and to say verses. A great many gentlemen and ladies came to see Mama, and I used to dance before them, or sit on their knees and sing to them. I liked it. Shall I let you hear me sing now?"